This is a production of Cornell University.
We're going to call the meeting to order at 12:18 on Wednesday, February the 18th. Welcome. Happy February, everybody. Hope you're enjoying the wonderful Ithaca weather we're having. Makes spring even sweeter. Is there any changes, additions, subtractions, deletions to the menu? Or to the menu. Tell what I do for a living.
What's on the menu, Greg?
To the minutes from last week. So, with the Office of Assemblies committing to run a quick grammar check, is there a motion to approve? Is there a second?
Second.
Any dissent? All right, seeing none, those minutes pass unanimously. I don't have a lot to report from the chair today. Just been a lot of other stuff going on, trying to get some things in order. So apologies for not having a report, but I think most of the stuff we have to talk about will be in business of the day. So I'll turn it over to Michelle for the business of the day Education Committee update.
So the Education Committee met on February 10th from 2 to 3 in the afternoon at Bay Hall. And we had Tiffany Howe, Stephen Jenks, Greg Metz, who joined us, as well as Joe Rogan, Curtis Ferguson, DJ, Jesco, Maureen Bull, and Donna Bulgari were there. Bud Larry were there from Office of Human Resources and Benefits. We just went through a couple questions. I was new to the committee, and I questioned why there was a lack of administrative appointments from benefit services, organizational development services, the School of Continuing Ed, and summer sessions. That's stated in the committee page that they're supposed to be there. And they said that they had a long history of attending in the past, but the committee had become less focused and with less action, so that they declined. We brought up about the Education Committee survey, which Nancy worked real well on. I remember having the results of that brought to EA about information dispersal and the need for that at the local level. And in response to that, Human Resources has had the staff development day with some changes and also meetings in Geneva in December and the other students in July. And we had questions from Tiffany Howe as far as if the Education Committee is really necessary at this time or if we should just have an action committee if the need arises. And we acknowledge that as far as meeting education benefits, a lot of times it's need-based, so when you have the need, you go and find out the information and ask the HR office over there at the East Hill office building with every position. Our problem with our situation is that a lot of people can't get over there. They're working hospital shifts and then they don't want to come back after work and stay late for over 2 days. So, Curtis brought up that not all employees have computer reading skills that allow them to access the information on the web very well. And a lot of times it's just really confusing. I found when I needed any of the benefits to do continuing classes or find out about children's tuition scholarships, the one-on-one meeting for them was much more beneficial than what I could find on the web. And, but the representatives that were there said that they are happy to attend a college information session or put one on, even if it's for one or two employees. And that goes to the community as well. So they're a great reference to call and ask for that. But one thing I noticed was that I attended a college tuition benefit seminar with Audrey Vine, who was in charge of the tuition. And I invited her at that time to attend the she was more than willing to attend, and but just asked me to wait till after January because that's when a lot of processing happens. And then she shared that information with Maureen Rule, and all of a sudden she was out of the picture and wasn't going to attend at all.
Any questions on the education committee?
I have one question. In this area of accessibility and inclusion for staff, and I think the answer is yes to this, but the staff member who perhaps has a disability, you have all the disciplines and is classified as present, are you covered through the student disability services program?
I would assume they would be.
Because as we know, many staff aren't.
Good question.
You can certainly direct that question through Maureen.
But I just want to make sure that we're taking a look at a lot of the education programs that we offer across campus and the level of accessibility to all populations that are taking advantage of the program.
So that's an employee that
would be an employee, yeah. So if that's something that maybe you can just take a look at, that'd be awesome.
Great question.
So what do we think about our subcommittees? Is the education committee, should they be meeting actively so at least you know the numbers and everything once a year, or should they not be required to do that unless there's a question or a problem that arises?
I think that's a great topic for discussion, because I absolutely see both sort of sides of the line, and I think everybody recognizes that. And it's difficult with committee work to keep people engaged in a committee if there's not any work.
Mm-hmm.
And I know sometimes we get things so sporadically. I think it's a larger discussion, and I don't know if it's necessarily one for today. I mean, we can have it today if we want. But just sort of throw it out there and think about. I will say sort of hats off to the Education Committee and Michelle for pulling it all together and bringing that sort of topic to the table, and it was well prepared and presented. So I think, when we do have the opportunity to meet, we have good things to talk about. I don't know if we necessarily need to meet all the time.
And then another point that arose during this meeting that was sort of an aside was human resources and benefits, doing changes to policy without necessarily contacting the EA or having means of communication before they're done, and just the atmosphere of that private situation that's going on, in their department. And I didn't really know if I saw a whole lot of willingness for them to work together with us. Did you get that impression?
I think Maureen, I will say the staff members that were there, I think we're put in a tough situation because it's like they want to answer things for us, but they're also just handling internal things as well. So I think I agree with what you said before. I think they want to be proactive, but they're also trying to be sensitive to internal policy before it's released publicly. So I think meetings like this just help us keep bridging that relationship. And I think it's like what you said too, there hasn't been any need for the education policy in a while, so I think it's just a matter of us rebuilding those connections, so then when something does need to be connected to the EA, at least they know that we are here for them.
And another thing that came up as far as policy keeping up with times, and I know that this was addressed before in the past, was partners and spouses having educational benefits as opposed to just the children. And we had said that that had been shot down in the past, and with the new president coming in, maybe it was time to readdress it or not. That was just another aside.
The other thing I thought was really interesting is the fact that the child tuition credit, and I forget the acronym for that.
CCTS.
Yeah. that's covered at a third, but if an employee goes and takes a class somewhere else, you get essentially like $100-some credit. And I think it's a max of maybe $1,000, maybe. But for the children, it's a much more significant. So that to me just sort of struck as like, where's the priority? And I think it's a great benefit to be able to provide that to staff for their children. I'm like, I'm not advocating against that. I'm saying, no, I'm definitely not saying that. And it's tough sitting up here as a young guy with no kids. Which a lot of people have kids at that age looking at me right now. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is we should want to promote and advance our workforce, and a Cornell degree, a Cornell program, a Cornell class might not work for an employee. You know, it might be way more beneficial to do an online, you know, master's program, you know, when you can sit at 9 o'clock at night at your kitchen table and, you know, crank out your work. Should that benefit be better equalized and not have such a disparity?
And I've talked to it, one of the things that we went to, the education thing or something, where they have the various colleges had different tables set up. I talked to the people at Empire State, and they said that they were working with Cornell to try to get it so that, not Empire State, one of them, maybe it's TC3, I don't remember now, but one of them, Cornell will pay. You can enroll and Cornell will pay instead of you having to pay and then them reimbursing you if you get a higher, if you get the set grade. Huh. I don't remember which one it is now, but one of them was working, trying to work with Cornell to work that out so that employees did not have to pay up front,
mm-hmm.
and Cornell would pay up front. But there was some logistical thing where it was either Cornell or the other institution that wouldn't agree to the terms, and
I'm sure it was Cornell.
Probably.
Just guessing.
You know that. You know that's on record.
No. Yeah. No. For the record, I'm sure it was Cornell.
As far as keeping up with the times, because there are new online opportunities that weren't around before, and it may be not as cost prohibitive.
Yeah.
And we also brought up the MOOCs, and they didn't mm-hmm. know that the MOOCs were essentially cost free, other than for a small certificate fee.
You know, so I think that there's some opportunity, you know, just based on the little discussion that we've had for the education committee, but I think it would probably be best for us to formulate some sort of game plan or plan of attack, and then use that committee to, you know, methodically chip away at the issue. So I think we should continue to strategize over the next couple of months on an approach for that and get that teed up so that throughout the rest of this year and next year, we can take that up as an issue, because I think that's a really good, valuable, you know, thing to bring up.
Perhaps further into the spring, when there's a little bit more time, non-existent time now. That
when the sun comes out, its time shows up.
Meeting with the summer session in the continuing education department, which is what the employees actually fall under. So I'll try to get a representative from that group to meet with us later.
Yeah, that'd be great.
We walked into the meeting with a whole different set of questions about the website, central portals, and localizing distribution of information, and we came out of the meeting with many others.
What about eCornell? Have you looked at that? eCornell, which works with Statler and ILR, and they do master certificate programs,
and
they're
take
amazing.
For $100. And those things are not even.
You can, and
There's a like an asterisk and a fine print to that, because I know that there's a few programs that they offer that fall outside of that. There's something she mentioned about eCornell, and I can't remember what it is, so that's not for the record, but I know that there's something different.
Word to be distributed. The employee educational opportunities that were attached on the web email that she sent to us, again, those are workshops that give more information to employees, but again, they're over at Eastville Office Building. Mm. And I forwarded those to Nancy to make sure they're in the conference as well, because they all occur in March.
Great.
So a couple things at Eastville Office Building. There is 4-hour free parking there for anybody who wants to drive up, and there's like 10-minute spots, and then there's a bunch of 4-hour spots, so if people need to hit up there or whatever, they can do that and park easily for the most part. As far as the eCornell courses, we just got an email through HR about it yesterday that eCornell courses are available to all staff for $100, yep. And they're also eligible for tuition aid.
Yeah, I mean, I did one, but it was within the curriculum, or let's say my career growth. So my department, everything paid for the whole thing. I didn't have to pay for anything.
But you can do that for me.
So is that information going to be released broadly?
No,
yes, that was my next.
So it is. I believe it is on the eCornell website.
Yeah.
The information about the $100. We got this because they're doing it. There's an HR thing.
Yeah.
That's
the one. Which
is
really nice.
The HR one.
So you can take that. It's just
whether you want to pay for it or
whether you want to pay for it or whether your department will pay for it.
Yes.
You can also take like the HR, the ILR courses as well.
Yeah.
So again, we've come full circle back to the notion of
information. Which is a good segue to our next.
Speaking of information distribution, we'll turn it over to Eric.
So mine's really quick. our next EA communication update is set for the 23rd, which is next Monday. I should have a rough draft on in the box tonight. But it will need another message from an EA member, which I'm looking for a volunteer. Voluntary.
Hazel, did we have new volunteers in this one?
What do the meeting minutes say?
You were over there, that's right.
But it's not.
Oh, yeah.
Yay,
Hazel.
Yay.
Thank you.
Right?
Just love how the peer pressure works.
I know, it does.
Well, you know, we should have Beth come for an update on the care fund. Is she chairing?
No. Yeah.
I know we talked in our last meeting about this, the forum you guys wanted to have. I don't know if you guys have any more information on that or if I'm going to get information, but.
I don't know if it'll.
It may.
May. So we'll talk about that a little further. Okay.
When it's in the box, you can add an update.
Yep.
So just put it in, and then we'll send it to Gina on Friday or Monday.
Sounds good. So again, just to add on to that, you know, how well our last EA update was really received, we really want to use that as a tool. So again, as things like this education, you know, distributing that as benefits, that could potentially be in this one if Eric sees there's no space, or it could be in the next one. But really think about things that, as we see, distribution of information is kind of tough here. So if there are things that we're looking to broadcast widely, I think that's what Eric would love help with, is filling up each of the updates. So keep that in mind. Check the box. Eric has been using that diligently, and you'll see that in there as well, too. So thank you for doing that.
And I love the fact that other administrative units are now asking us to send things out over the EA update.
Yeah, that's right.
Mission accomplished. I don't want to be like Bush during, you know, like I don't want to have a big banner, but like I think it's really missions accomplished almost, you know, when people start
mission
to look.
Progressing.
Yeah. mission almost there.
This is showing engagement.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're coming to us to get the information out. I think we need to keep that push going.
Yeah. And Eric has done a great job really moving that ball forward. So kudos to Eric for that. Appreciate it.
send him a kudos for the kudos. Speaking of the next kudos thing on our
menu. We're just a segue in a way. Good luck.
So Staff Education Awards Committee is meeting on Monday. We have three nominees for the George Peter Award, and we will select two of them to be our recipients. At this point, we'll see what the committee says when they we've gotten some kudos in, so that's good. Every once in a while, we get a little flurry of them when. And then we'll have the kudos luncheon, which I know there's been some talk about maybe doing something next month.
Yep. So potentially, so again, we're looking at doing that senior leadership panel. So to kind of help promote the Opperman Award a little bit, as opposed to maybe just doing it at the Kudos Luncheon, where, you know, it's, we publicize it, but it's a smaller event because it's just for people at luncheon, maybe presenting the Opperman Award at the Senior Leadership Panel, where Mary will be moderating, to give it a little bit more, hey, here's some more folks here, to kind of help pair that up as well, too. So again, this is a developing thing, so, but...
I think it's a very positive thing to do that, and I think it nicely mirrors what we do with the President's Address, so that we've got a big award there, we've got a big award over here.
Yeah.
I guess my question is with the kudos function, do we want to continue to do that at the Sattler as we have always done, or do we want to do something else? In other words, talk about not having a luncheon and maybe doing something smaller. I think it's a nice thing that we do.
True, they've never been in.
Yeah.
You get a good deal.
We do.
Thanks, Sattler.
But for the record, I'm fine with it going somewhere else and not.
I think it's really nice to see Sattler. It's a good central location. You don't really have to do any heavy lifting.
No.
Yep. You don't have to worry about things and theaters and setups and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so
it's very accessible. It's right there.
Right off the bus line.
Yep. Get you from the 30, 32, the 10.
They have a very friendly staff.
Don't you usually talk to someone who says, yeah, we can't get you in anywhere?
Yes, but we'll figure it out.
If we're set up on a
lunch, do we want to, like, haven't we done it where we place a meeting with that?
I think we...
Yes.
Yeah.
Do we want to do it again? Or is that a different day? Do we care? May I have a look at the calendar?
I felt like it was in May.
I think it was
in May.
It was the first one in May.
Yeah.
I couldn't remember. I know we were trying to do it and we had a hard time.
I would have looked it up, but...
It was tough to find a date left.
Yeah.
It was the 105th anniversary... weekend.
That's when
April,
you
really that's
graduation
right
in May.
Right.
It's going to be a very busy spring.
May is...
Might want to wait for June, maybe.
I think find out what state option she has in that.
May 20th is our second meeting in May, and that's closing for the residential hall, and then we turn around commencement guests coming through the later.
What if we did it in June?
I feel like staff is a much easier time.
Like the 11th.
Mm-hmm. I think it's so much easier for staff and families aren't going on vacation to be able to get
staff because you've got to consider we have a lot of staff who are student facing who are not there by that point in time. They usually leave by mid-May. So it depends on what staff is going to be invited. So, for example, in Gannett, a bunch of the nurses and staff and everything are off to recover by that point in time. A lot of our dining staff, in fact, almost all of our dining staff,
sure,
is off for the next few months.
Well,
so
or they're pulled into working for...
Let me hear. Yes, to prepare for
the... But there still could be a difficult. I mean, if they're not...
Yeah.
So it's just
to think about... The
no, yeah, I mean, so we got to think about everybody.
And I would think that maybe, and correct me if I'm wrong, but like dining and full, they'd probably be here through...
reunion, usually.
Yeah.
So we might be fairly close to our goal. But anyway, I think it depends on what dates they give us. We're at the mercy of.
Put an email on Melissa and see what dates. Do we want to talk about the other thing?
We can do that. Let me just see where Curtis is. So yeah,
let's do that because Curtis isn't here yet.
No, he's not going to be late.
So I was contacted by Carol Lepone and Carnelli in regards to the cat accident that happened the other day.
Oh yeah.
I don't know how public it is. I know she's been hurt, but the woman who passed away did not die immediately. Mm-hmm. And there was a fellow staff member who came to her aid, gave her his coat, stayed with her, took care of her.
I'm sorry, there's two of them.
I only know about one person who was physically with her.
I was there, there was two.
So we'll have to talk about it because I've been connecting with Gail Simon, and there's one person.
Yes.
So, I was contacted because Karen Rapoli got contacted as the University Awards and Recognition Coach, and seeing if there was something that they could do with sales to recognize him. She didn't feel that any of their awards were very celebratory, and it didn't feel right. So she contacted me to see if there was anything that the EA did that might feel right. The George Peter doesn't feel right. Kudos doesn't feel right. So we talked about the notion of a resolution of gratitude for Bill. They really liked that idea, so I drafted a resolution which I can either put up or I can read it immediately if you want to put it up to look at it. I can do that. Does anybody have a preference either way? Or
do you want to just mail it to me?
Did you get what's your email?
He is a
The resolution states, in gratitude to Bill Baldwin in support of our caring community. Whereas Cornell University prides itself on having a caring community where faculty and students support each other at times of need, great and small, and take responsibility for looking out for one another very seriously. Whereas on January 26th, a member of our staff community, Bill Baldwin, stepped forward to show compassion to a fellow staff member, Angela Bedwell, who was involved in the tragic accident. Whereas Bill stayed with Angela, caring for her by placing his coat over her to provide shelter from the elements, holding her hand and praying for her, not knowing that she could hear him. What Bill did is inspiration to all of us. Spur of the moment, compassion displayed for a member of our community who went above and beyond. He is so resolved the employee assembly expresses appreciation and heartfelt gratitude to Bill for his thoughtful and kind-hearted support of a fellow staff member and a woman of great need. Bill showed great compassion and truly exemplified what it means to be part of her. So the other thing that we talked about is he obviously is, you know, still dealing with what he saw and was involved in. He does not want a big deal made about him. Obviously,
yeah.
He was okay with this. He would be okay, my understanding, if it was some sort of small luncheon type of thing. So the thought might be if the EA was supportive of this, maybe we would do something for him. And I understand there were some other folks who were around directing traffic and things like that. Maybe to do something small for that group, maybe invite Mary, maybe invite Greg, one or two members of the EA, just to be there something small and not overly celebrate.
So my question is, I know you mentioned
there might be someone else. Bill Levin, he's an electrician for the next shop. Bill was pulling his car up when the accident happened. Bill was there first, did remove his jacket, covered her, and was talking to her. Earl was pulling his van up, and he saw it. Earl got out and prayed with Bill. Linda and I were directing traffic. There's a building care person that was on the bus with the bus driver, and she never left his side. You know, I mean, what a tragic thing for someone to be a part of anyway. I nominated her for Employee of the Month in my department only because she was so involved, and she, you know, like I said, she never left him. And Bill and Earl never left her either. So
I can take back to Gal and Drew to see if we should do something very similar for Earl. We'll put them both on this resolution.
Yeah.
And Bill is the only name that came to me from Gal. So I would assume maybe Gal knows the other person, or maybe he...
Well, Bill works for Gal.
Right.
And Earl doesn't work for Gal.
Okay, so that means...
So, you know, that might be the...
Breakdown.
So if we're going to recognize one, it is perhaps better to recognize the whole situation.
Right.
And I don't know, Tanya, if it would be worth reaching out to the Cornell Committee or not. I know that a staff member in our office was given a letter.
And the...
He's been there like 37 years. Andrea Stewart.
S-E-W-A-R-T.
Mm-hmm.
And you were there today?
Bridget, what's the one with last name that does HVAC? Or Kathy?
Kathy. Yeah, I'm not going to think of her name.
So I'm wondering if, again, I think this is the thing. I'm wary of just recognizing one person because of how many people it touched.
And this is the first time I've heard. I mean, I did hear there was, you know, people out there directing traffic.
So what are your thoughts on maybe doing this resolution of gratitude, removing specific names, but just recognizing actions that happened, and then maybe at this luncheon, you know, just doing a small intimate thing with just a few people that were involved by invitation. So then it is not, again, it's not fanfare, but really just recognizing the things that transpired and, you know, providing some small bit of solace for what happened in there too.
So do we think that we just shouldn't have names at all, or should we name people?
Well, if we're going to name, then we have to make sure
we
have
everything.
And that's what I'm concerned with.
Yeah,
we
might.
We may be leaving people off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, leaving names off helps us just not make a grave error. You know, I think we can look all around, but people are going to be affected by this in different ways. People may consider their involvement in different ways. So if we just remove names and leave it to actions that transpired.
Good American law and stuff like that, people may not want their names.
Yeah.
Well, my thought would be to go back to the other folks who were involved and ask for their permission to use their name. Bill has been asked for his permission to use his name. I would ask Kate Gray if he wanted to be named, will we say so and so, and several other
I think there might be a way too to recognize people individually with their name, but keep a generic resolution. And I hate to use the word generic because that's not the right appropriate word, but I couldn't think of a better one. But something more generic in terms of the resolution that we make as a statement, and then you know maybe it's a personalized copy. You know, to the specific folks that we invite.
Mm.
Maybe it's some proclamation of gratitude that's, you know, done nicely with calligraphy and the president signs and Mary signs and
right.
the EA signs, or, you know, some sort of way to recognize individually and, you know, something that we could, you know, because people in those situations, like, nobody helps for the recognition. You know, so like there's no way that you can really legitimately thank someone during that time in the way that they should be. So something, you know, be it whatever. I don't know. I don't say whatever to dismiss it, but just throwing out for ideas.
So I think if I go back, I'll go back and redraft, but kind of removing names and trying to put in
Curtis is not here. I don't know if we want to jump in without him. I have
he
his email.
Has to say, you want to just yeah. talk about the email?
So he's looking at the creation of elections task force, which was an idea that sort of spurred out of the executive committee. And he said, here are my thoughts on the EA election task force. The purpose and the goals for the EA election task force are as follows. Explore ways to get inputs about the current and future EA organizational structure from people who are not currently involved, and propose in the form of a resolution the best organizational structure for EA representation by the first April EA meeting. It's sort of what he's hoping to establish with the elections task force. Elections task force, maybe not be the right name for it, but just trying to look at this from an elections calendar cycle, elections chair perspective, because we have had the discussion about composition or structure and things like that. So Curtis is willing to head that up and chair it. BJ, as a member of the executive committee, has volunteered to step up. I know that we asked someone from the Office of Assemblies as an idea to, you know, get the history, the perspective, the organizational aspect of it moving forward, and then, you know, two other people from the sort of general body to be sort of members on this committee to make these recommendations. And, you know, Curtis is proposing a firm timeline, so we have something to then to start to discuss. So somebody would just need to be able to be available and during the month of March meet to create the resolution, and then hopefully the first EA meeting present the resolution in April, or sometime in April present it. So throwing out that out there for thoughts, suggestions, comments, voluntarios.
Say if you want to either send me or Curtis if you're interested in being on the task force, that would be great.
But are there any limitations on who can and can't for that?
Oh, it was... for we're looking at folks right who are not up for election.
Not up for election, that's correct.
So
why would you want to look at folks who are not up for election? It's not about election year calendaring, but about the future of the EA.
So part of our rationale, I think, is because it's tied into elections. It's not necessarily the election calendar, but how elections might be run, what kind of composition there might be. We didn't want someone who is up for election to necessarily influence, structure it in a way that could either positively or negatively affect that. It's also just kind of following the election committee in the past.
Okay, that seems odd to me because those of us who would be up for election would be asked to vote on the resolution, correct? So why wouldn't thoughts of half of this membership not be considered in the conversation?
I mean, if we're talking about the future, if we were just talking about it, you know, how we run our elections or how we, you know, we solicit for membership, that would be one thing. But if we're saying we're going to go to this kind of model versus that kind of model, you know, I don't see why we wouldn't be open to anyone being involved.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that's just my thought.
Yeah, I think the original...
It's just following the election committee from last
year. Yeah, so the original thing being out of elections, I think that was just the first thing that came to mind. And thinking through it now, that makes a lot of sense. So I don't see a reason why it wouldn't be for election-specific things, which is... Everyone technically, I think, by default, who is not up for election is on the elections committee.
Right.
That's when those up for elections would be excluded from that conversation.
Also, we haven't had an election in years due to
lack of
interest. So, if it was a highly competitive election cycle, I might be a little bit more leaning towards folks that are not up.
No, I mean, my sense would be if this conversation is truly about what the EA looks like in the future, that is really separate and independent from how we do our elections.
Yeah.
Right, there are two separate conversations.
Yeah, so what do we want to call it, a composition task force? Member composition task force?
Sure.
SWAT team.
The task force that Curtis is leading.
Curtis is crew.
We'll come up with a different name, but yeah,
vigorously
I mean,
named task force. So, anybody want to have an interest in that? You can reach out to BJ and Curtis.
Us,
the sooner the better. And if not, we'll.
Does Curtis have to know when he's meeting or
yeah, he's on.
I think he wants to try to probably figure that out once he.
Yeah, he wants to figure. So his timeline is by the end of February, have the other two folks to complete the task force of five, and then once those five are established, it'll figure out dates with those five people as well too. So, cool. So I'll let him know that.
Cool. Upcoming meeting with transportation. Trying to firm up a date with the transportation folks. Just wanted to give everybody an update to talk about some of the transportation things. I know one of the topics is, do we hold the meeting here? Do we have the meeting somewhere else? Do we publicize it more as a forum? I'm sure in our minds we'll get a lot of people to come for the transportation topic. My only caution inside of my mind is saying, I don't want to have it somewhere and then it be empty.
Yeah.
You know, I'd rather have a packed smaller room than an empty big room. So, just sort of throwing that out there for ideas on best ways to frame it with transportation.
All I know would be to have an RFP for something.
I mean, logistically, I think we could rejigger this room just a little bit.
What's that number say?
69 the table, 75.
Yeah.
Was it say right behind you? Cool. Just seated?
We can restructure the tables, put the chairs out, you know.
Okay.
I think we could do it here.
We can just refigure some kind of seating so there's
more space.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's good. All right, so... I think we'll frame it sort of as a dialogue, open discussion. You know, we'll provide, if folks do come, we'll provide an opportunity for questions.
And then if you do have, I know some of you have received transportation questions already. I think I created a folder on the box already, but if I haven't, please add questions in there. So at least we can start off with just some questions that the transportation people can at least prepare so they're not... I don't want them to feel ambushed. I want this to be productive for them as well, too.
Yeah.
Yep.
Has there been any commitment from the administration on the bus passes for freshmen for next year, or...
There hasn't been any talk about it not happening. And it...
Yeah.
They had said that at 1-2 that they were...
That's
they
my understanding.
I definitely know they upped it for this year, and I think with President Gordon's commitment to, was it 500?
It was like 100, then 300, then 500, or something like that. Or I don't know how the math. I don't get day hall math, but I'm pretty sure that hasn't gone away because that would have come to the UA already. And
the infrastructure committee hasn't. It's not an issue for us. So it's been renewed. It's just a matter of how the university is paying for it. It's happening.
They're paying for anything.
Yeah. Does that come? Is there a second part, or just curiosity,
no,
or?
I'm just curious about that. It seems like that would be big shopping.
Yeah, to my understanding of that presentation, it was the multi-year commitment. But we can double check and follow up. I'm having a tough day today.
Not
so.
Follow back, y'all.
Well, I understand that it's mainly, you know, it's the student effect, but it affects the whole transit system at that point.
Oh, big time. Big time, especially in the winter at 6 o'clock at night trying to get back to North Campus.
Well, and just all their funding, too.
Yeah.
I mean, the one piece to that is that they kept the federal funding that comes along with that ridership. And that goes away. Still, it seems like it's just going to start to have a real domino effect.
Oh, big time. Well, we should be thankful for the weather then, because I'm sure ridership is up with the cold temperatures. So, more federal funds coming right along.
That's right. That's certainly right.
Yeah.
They had cameras in some of the buses for a while. They started that several years ago.
Yeah, cameras have been there for a while.
Mm-hmm.
They got 11 or 12 cameras, I think.
Yeah. There wasn't in one of the buses that I was on where a student's card was not working, and the driver was very straightforward about things. And then there was a staff member asking the driver for information, like if the bus went to Boyd Thompson, which he was thinking up on the hill, I think.
She was thinking at the end of
the line, and there was a misunderstanding. Huh. They're people, too. Yes, they are. Is anybody heard anything more from Gulfview Park in the block now that we've had some time to the whole change in 81?
Yeah. I haven't gotten any new emails in a while.
Well, the only reason I was on the 82, and the 82 is now routing through the lot first thing in the morning and right after.
That was a change that came from the pushback, right?
No, I think that was.
Or was that the original change?
Because
I thought there was a change or modification coming.
I don't think there has been, though. I haven't heard of anything.
I think something's coming. I can't remember. And I might be speaking off of different emails, but they responded in some way, and I think Gina would know better, because I know Gina's been following this more closely. So maybe I'll ask her what it was. But I felt like there was some response that happened out of all of the sort of uprising of folks that had some concerns about the initial change. So, more to come. I don't mean to, like, leave you all hanging on the edge of your seat. Sorry. Budget season. So, BJ, Senior Leadership Panel. So we've kind of alluded this to other parts in the meeting, too, but the Senior Leadership Panel is an ongoing kind of planning. So we're looking, again, towards the end of our meeting session, so sometime in May. I understand this is kind of a crunch point for some folks, but I think it helps when we're all here. It's a time that, again, I think as we plan this far in advance, we can hopefully pick a time out for our senior leadership panel. So we're going to put out a call for questions so folks can submit questions. We have a few senior leaders already in mind, but again, filling out the rest of the panel based on the questions. So again, if we, you know, we don't want to have Q up there if no one has any transportation questions,
mm-hmm.
et cetera. So it'll probably be one of the next few EA updates that will say, we're developing a senior leadership panel, send your questions to this email, we can develop a panel, it'll be this time, this date.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it'll be great.
we're working on securing the date and location, but I think that'll be more, the location will be based on how many responses we kind of get up on there as well too. So just wanted to let you all know, again, it's further down the semester, but it's one to keep it all in the back of our minds. So as we get closer, it's not just kind of a big surprise that this is happening.
Because I know May,
yep.
They're all like crazy, so I'm just wondering how responsive they've
been. Mary was very responsive, and was also, I think, responsive, and I'm not going to speak for Mary, but she seemed like she would help. So she seemed to be pretty sure that that was a doable feat.
And I would say,
yeah.
And the other portion of it, too, is I think depending on the questions, we want to try and figure out who would be the best person to answer a lot of the questions.
Yeah.
So it might not necessarily be, you know, a VP, but it might be someone who works directly with that.
Yeah, it might not be Q, it might be Bridget.
Exactly.
You know, it might not be...
So.
But I think we're hoping for Mary, the provost, maybe a Paul Streeter kind of person.
Yeah.
Mary as a moderator,
and then just filling depending on questions.
Yeah, so you know, maybe no more than four in Mary.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So if folks have suggestions too, just off the bat, we'll take those as well. Or everybody else has questions, you know, we can send them to BJ and I, and we'll start a folder of questions in the box. But it would be great to have some really good tough pointed questions. I think the key was trying to take some of those, the idea of getting questions in advance prevents the the
yep.
audience member from necessarily getting up and saying, you know, my issue in this three-person department has, and granted, that's a valid concern for that person, that department, and that unit, and that college, and the university. So it's a concern, but it's not necessarily something that addresses the, but if we see multiple small departments asking the same question, then that becomes a broader, more relevant topic to this type of a discussion.
So we're thinking, yeah, is again, Mary's the moderator. She can pull all these things together and then ask a broader question towards one of the folks and then kind of help facilitate those conversations well too. So that's all I had for that. If anyone else had any questions for me, great. Then we'll get
what's next?
Resolution?
Yeah.
Well, I have an older gym too.
Sorry.
Can I have a quick
question?
Yeah, I think.
Yeah.
Right? Still, yeah, okay. Okay.
Are we going to be meeting with the trustees again this year?
Yes.
In March.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm thinking. Hold on a second. Alan Mittman, yes, sorry. Alan Mittman sent an email and asked us for a list of names.
Who?
Alan Mittman.
No, of who do we want it or of what?
No, of names for the EA so that we could get an invitation out.
Oh.
So that is coming. Sorry, I was...
Okay.
Budget season. But yeah, I'll get more to come. More to come.
Can I ask a question as well?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever happens with us wanting to try to meet with, like, the deans of the various colleges or...
No, nothing has happened yet, is the answer. I think one of the things we're trying to figure out how to frame that. And that's, I think, something that we maybe need a little more thought on. And having time with the deans to have a
an engaged conversation, I think we need to figure out how to do that best so that it represents us in the best light and it maximizes our time with that person. So I guess we'll put that back out there as a discussion topic, but just to have a dean come in, you know, when there may be a few people from CALS or a couple people from the vet school on the body who understand those specifics about that college or unit, trying to figure out how to get them at the table and what we talk about is something that I think we've struggled with.
I thought we were going to talk to them, though, about how they were implementing the results from the employee engagement survey and what their colleges were doing about employee engagement service. That's what I thought, was that they were supposed to be reporting to us and things like that about that.
Directly to the EA?
Yes. We are supposed to get some sort of report from them per resolution that we put forth. So somebody, whether it's them directly to the EA or Lumeri, but we're supposed to get something from them.
Because they did implement a lot of things at the vet school.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure they want a report.
So who do we want first?
I mean,
I'd like CALS because CALS hasn't implemented anything. As a matter of fact, they've removed things.
I mean, if that college would
have
that's
just my opinion, but I know that's not what everybody feels.
Well, you
so.
Know, this might be another idea, too, for a senior leadership panel, is to have the deans there, you know, is to do somebody from CALS, do a good example and a not good example.
Well, spring commitment, we discussed inviting the dean and having those deans get the word out to their employees to attend. You know, when we were talking about the president's address and how to up staff involvement and attendance at that, and somehow we were talking about the spring one that we were going to have with Mary Oberman, and we discussed getting the deans involved somehow at that point.
Aren't you having a CALS though is having a sort of meeting, isn't it? Meet, talk, greet. They're giving a massive announcement. Didn't they send out a CALS wide email? I believe they were going to address some issues. No?
Not that I've heard.
My husband's in CALS and he said, oh!
There's coffee with the dean, but that's a typical thing.
No, I think it was something. I'll find out.
Yeah.
It was my opinion.
So here, the EA leaders scheduled with the executive committee March 24th from 5 to 6.
March 24th?
From 5 to 6 p.m. for a reception style event in the row room.
Oh.
March 24th. So I just pulled up this email from Alan. I didn't think the date was confirmed,
but 6 p.m.
Usually we do it breakfast, don't we?
No,
last year was.
We did ask it at like 3 o'clock.
5 to 6, so with the 4 to 6.
No. Yeah.
Why
did?
This came from here, especially those of us that take buses. We have no transportation home.
I can push back on Alan.
Find out what changed.
And Kristen. But I wanted to give you a heads up that the EA leader scheduled with the executive committee from 5 to 6. That's what Kristen McHenry says.
Work-life balance.
Yeah. I will push back and see what we can do. Correct. I will ask. Alan also sent over the policy updates, which I will forward out to everybody, which weren't policies, or he says the 7 policies that have been deleted. If folks would like that, I can send that out. I will send that out. Do you want to read the other one, PJ?
Sure. So Tanya has a new resolution as well, just following up with kind of the staff engagement survey and outlining a plan for that. So we wanted to introduce it a little bit today. Just kind of go over what we're looking moving forward. So I guess I'll give it to Tanya if you want to introduce it.
Sure. So we had talked in the, well, we talked a lot here about needing, you know, kind of something in writing, preferably local president supporting with still a year, setting up the efficiency of a continued engagement survey. So basically, I just put together, you know, that we did one, the process in the past, and, you know, I added some pieces about oversight committee and our involvement committee to be sure that we are always a partner in this process rather than a potential afterthought. So I think they were really great partners with us this year. I think we had a lot of, when we first did it, we had a lot of involvement, there was a lot of engagement. I want to make sure that we continue to see that happen. And Linda's got all kinds of edits over here. Woo!
I actually have one of those papers.
It's new, right? You can't vote on it, it's just getting chased. I don't know. That's a good question. Can we vote on stuff if it's...
Yeah.
Right? Because it's not a...
It's not a
charter change. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So my only question is the committee being formed in advance of the survey results being received. So the committee being assembled, you know, 6 months prior to the survey or something, so you can figure out how to handle this, the data when it comes in. You know, you can be part, the committee can be part of the understanding the questions, you know, keeping that continuity.
I think that's a good idea. I think conversely, though, what I can hear in my mind is, how do we know who necessarily should be on the committee without knowing where the issues? I know, like when the oversight committee this last time was picked, it was very strategic in Mary, on Mary's part in picking leaders who had an investment in that particular area. Like Beth McKinney, there was a lot about wellness in here, so Beth McKinney was
brought on.
Mm-hmm. There was a lot about career development, so Chris Halliday from ODFS was in there. So I'm not sure. I mean, I think. Maybe there's some sort of compromise in there to say maybe a leadership person and EA members, it's not going to matter what the teams are for the EA members.
Because didn't it take like 6 months or a year before they...
No, we started meeting in the summer. That summer after the results. And you figure we didn't get results till November.
Right, we started meeting, but we didn't...
Yeah, I think that was.
They said the data won't be so hard
to mine
this time because we've been through one.
I remember Mary wanted all of the upper.
Right, all the upper level people to see it before we see it.
Well, I think that's something too that we should put in there. There's no reason why we shouldn't see it first.
Right.
Too. Yeah. We should be put in that upper tier.
Yeah. So I think their pushback last time was that. They didn't want to see kind of individual college data, right?
Yeah, it was the way that it was being.
But isn't that the whole point of the committee?
Right, exactly. So
yeah.
So this, well, no, because this oversight, so the oversight committee and the large university-wide committees looked at all of the data, you know, in aggregate form, saying, okay, this is kind of the overarching umbrella. Each college or unit, they got their data and were able to pull out the themes that were more specific to them. So what that might have been working on would be different than what Cal was working on, depending on how their employees answered. But we were looking at the university to pull over the top themes for them.
So I guess that's just some of the stuff that, I mean, I'd like to see in this resolution is, I'd like to give us a little bit more strength behind this. Because we represent the colleges and units. You know, if there's certain things going on that helps. I mean, it's like a congressman or senator knowing about their constituents' specific needs so that they can address them when there's also overarching, you know, needs for the country, right? I mean, that's the easiest analogy I can draw. So maybe there's
maybe there's more that we should be asking for. I didn't think you'd wait for a response, so I just...
I'm cool with this student golf project that can meet where it starts to talk where I do all the things that call about the next student golf project. It seems like just the conversation earlier in the meeting about, you know, whether or not communities have responsibilities or have actual passive in the community or whether or not just the meeting announced the conversation about what's the structure of the AWA and the composition and everything. It seems that a lot of the things are kind of simple, comfortable at work, in my opinion. And it's a hard thing when you're saying for the conversation we want people to come to the EA and for input about policy changes, but then in the resolution that it's to remove responsibility from the EA, there's no actual action steps because the EA itself should be taking it. We want the university to be a conversation plan, but I think the EA itself should be in charge of putting together a plan. That's very precedent for that. You have the Dragon professionals to be coming to the EA, which is seeing the GDPI. After they carefully, they surveyed their students, they got the information from the EA, it took a year, it took over for their whole year, but they put together a comprehensive plan that laid out what the things were going to be, that determined the structure of the assembly, that determined the structure of the community that came out, and then they pulled in university leadership to actually work with them on those specific areas, and that's even in Canada and all the other people kind of sign on to that, and I think that's kind of, I guess to me, like, that's where I look at, and it's hard for me to kind of profile on the task force and looking at that structure without first understanding what the CS policy area and oversight focus EA or CS in the future. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's just kind of right. So I think I like the idea of oversight committees and having university leadership there. I just said that I think EA is going to focus on strength in that section. I think it's not giving the university leadership
subjects.
Right.
So we have to be careful as employees because you can get canned, whereas it's harder to get rid of the students
and change with
they
find ways.
I think, you know, so last time we did a survey, it was pretty clear that yeah, we recommend the survey that we certainly did. You know, that was actually the first two there be it resolved. I actually did want to add some things around that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one, I felt that we should list who is going to be the sponsor only of the survey. So it's not just it's going to, you know, conduct it. So who's going to own it? So should we want to list HRSS as the sponsor of the survey, Human Resource Safety Services, because, you know, as I've gone to Marin for my purposes after some of the breakdown of the data, she has said, this is Mary's survey, I can't give you anything unless Mary gives me explicit permission to release it. So I think that we need to say who owns the data. IRP is just an instrument of collection, right?
Yeah.
And analyzing.
Right.
But they're not the owner of the data, and I think we need to...
Should we co-own it?
Hmm?
Should we co-own it?
Well, I think that becomes complex in having co-ownership because there's every little request, every little thing that comes through that Mary right now responds to. But I think... So I think at the end of the day, there needs to be one department partnering with us who...
Yeah, so we could, I mean, you could in essence co-own it and give her operational authority.
There you go.
Like, it's like a managing partner.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think in that first year resolve, we really should look who the owner is, in partnership, you know, owns it from the operational, all that kind of stuff, with the understanding that the EA is a partial owner or partial interest in that ownership or however it's going to be worded. And then... I also think that we should put in that part, the director of IRP will meet with the EA and share the plan survey items with the EA at least 6 months prior to the administration of the survey.
Yep.
so that if there's something that's been coming across the board for us that we've been hearing from employees that is not captured in the survey, that we may say to her at that point in time, you don't have many items or any items on this thing and we've heard so much about it. Could you relook at that and maybe conduct a focus group or two and see if you can add one or two items? With the understanding at the end of the day, you know, they have all the commitments and they've got to run it, but at least we can try to have a voice and make sure if there's anything that is really standing out to us, or even from our standpoint, we're receiving the survey and there might be an item that's worded very badly, that feels very badly to us when we read it, and we can say, this is confusing.
Yeah.
Just to give her that standpoint. But I think she should come in here at least 6 months prior and share what's planned.
And I think that's fair. I know last time it was kind of like, if you want us to do it,
yes, do it
up. And
exactly.
That's
like
what we got to do. But now that we're being more planful about it, we're not, I mean, we have a longer timeline. We've got, I mean, what, 2016 is our
a year from
the so we have time for to do that with us.
Right.
Well, they brought up bringing up topics, but we can't post individual questions, but we want to make sure that there's topics to be addressed.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think it'll also be useful to talk to her because she might be able to say, like, okay, if you scrap this question over here and you change it to this, we're going to have a hard time comparing
the ones to people. Yeah. But I just think to engage us, and at least this is what we're thinking, this is kind of the thinking behind it. And then we say, you know what's really missing? There's not a lot of traffic fiction. If you can find maybe one or two more items of this kind of nature, that would be very helpful because of what we've done here. Maybe there needs to be a question on transportation on it. I mean, this is
for transparency.
Yes.
For transparency.
Yes. This is our opportunity. I mean, the information we get off of this helps us and should be helping us with our agenda going forward, too, because this is the voice of so many of the employees of Fox News. So, I mean, obviously, we can't go crazy and add 200 questions, but if there are three or four that we feel are really, really important to help us with understanding, there might be a question that we say that I know what the EA is. Maybe we can negotiate that question, one question. But I'm just saying, if you give us that opportunity and she comes and we have that conversation, we may be told no at the end of the day, but I think it's important for her to hear the important things of the voice of employees of what might be on that survey.
So based on time, I hate to be the time guy, but we're out of time.
Linda's got
notes.
I'll give you mine.
Okay. And then put them in box, and then we'll bring this up again at the next meeting. If there's no motion to extend by time, we're adjourned. Have a great day.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.